First, read one of the lives of the devotees, then I'll speak some general topics. So, today I'm speaking about Abhiram Gopal Thakur. He is one of the principal followers of Lord Nityananda. The behavior and activities of Lord Nityananda and his followers are particularly far beyond the understanding of mundane so-called rationalists. Or to put it in another way, Lord Nityananda and his followers appear to be transcendentally eccentric. How they distributed love of God is beyond all imagination. So we will simply hear these narrations and bow our heads at the lotus feet of these great devotees. Abhiram Gopal Thakur in Krishna Lila was one of the most intimate friends of Krishna, known as Sridham. He was often just known as Ramdas for short. He lived in a place called Kanakuru, Krishna Nagar. His wife's name was Malini Devi. He married at the behest of Nityananda Prabhu. If you go to this place, Kanakuru, Krishna Nagar, you can still see the beautiful deity of Gopinath that was worshipped by Abhiram Thakur. What happened was, at night in a dream, this deity came to me and told that I am buried under the earth. And I am buried underneath the earth. Please take me out and worship me. So, upon waking from his dream, the next day Abhiram Thakur had the local people dig in that place. And a beautiful deity of Lord Gopinath was found there. So where they dug, big hole was made in the earth. That became filled with water. And that became known as Ramakund, where the water is very beautiful and pleasing. Anyone who took bath there became very pleased. So one day, Abhiram Thakur, being filled with the mood that I am a cowherd boy, he felt, I want to play a flute, because generally cowherd boys in India play flutes, and that's for calling the cows. That's why Krishna has a flute. So he wanted to play a flute, but there was no flute on hand. He was looking around here and there. Then he saw a big log that it was so big that even 16 men couldn't pick it up. So he picked it up by himself, and from that he prepared a flute. And that became famous, that amazing large flute. He also had a whip, which was very famous, that was called Jai Mongo. And the specific feature of this whip is that anyone who whipped with it would become ecstatic in love with God. One day Srinivasa Acharya came to have his darshan. Srinivasa Acharya was in future to be one of the most famous preachers of Krishna consciousness in history. At this time he was a young boy. So when he saw him, Abhiram Gopal whipped him 3 times. And then his wife restrained him, said, "Don't whip him too much, he's just a young boy." But at the touch of that whip, then Srinivasa Acharya became overwhelmed with love of Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya sent Nityananda Prabhu from Puri to Bengal for preaching, Ramdas was one of the principal devotees he sent with him. Upon seeing him, the atheists and infidels would tremble. He was very deeply learned in scripture. And then there's just some description of him. Hare Krishna. Some stories are long and some are short. Hare Krishna. So I'll just speak for a few minutes, and then if any of you have any questions, you could ask, because I understand that most of you are quite new to Krishna consciousness, and of course when someone comes newly to Krishna consciousness, they will generally have quite a lot of questions, and you may not get so much opportunity to consult with more experienced devotees. So we have some questions, and I hope you have some questions. Now, having come to Krishna consciousness, we naturally feel we want to become more advanced. In the beginning, there are many, many things to learn, and we feel like I want to attain to Krishna consciousness. In the beginning stages, there may be so many misunderstandings and struggles with the material energy. We may not even be able to clearly understand what is the proper position of Krishna consciousness and what is mind. So not only in the beginning, but at all stages, we should desire to become advanced in Krishna consciousness. So how to go about that? How to become advanced? So to help us, there are many instructions in the scriptures, especially the Six Goswaris. There are many books to give us directions on how to advance in Krishna consciousness. No. The Six Goswaris of Vrindavan, they scrutinizing and studied all the different scriptures and wrote books on the conclusions of the scriptures with the aim of establishing the most essential religious principles in human society for the benefit of others. Particularly, Rupa Goswami has written two books which are very important for the advancement of all devotees. These are Sri Upadeshamrita, which Prabhupada has translated with commentary as the Metta of Instruction, which gives the whole overview of advancement in Krishna consciousness. Right, the synopsis. The synopsis, yes. And he's also written Bhakti Samrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada has translated as a summary study, as the Metta of Devotion. In the preface to the Nectar of Instruction, we find many, many important instructions. The preface is written by Srila Prabhupada. It's quite short. In about two pages, we find in every line there's so much important instruction. And in one line in that preface, I find practically the most important instruction. That Prabhupada writes that advancement in Krishna consciousness depends upon the attitude of the performer. There are many rules and regulations, actually not many. It may seem like many to us, but compared to all the rituals that transcendentalists in India used to follow, we don't have many rules to follow. But still there is a specific process of Krishna consciousness. There are certain principles which are favorable for advancement in Krishna consciousness. And there are certain principles that if we don't come, there are certain principles that are detrimental to advancement. But even if we follow these principles, if our attitude is not as it should be, we won't properly avoid advancement. Or if our attitude is very sincere and pure, then sometimes even if we don't follow all the regulations very strictly, then we will still make advancement. Although generally someone who is very sincere, they will follow the rules and regulations. Because these rules and regulations, they're very well. Regulation means it regulates our life in such a way that we can make proper progress in spiritual life. Depending upon our attitude, we'll take up these regulations wholeheartedly or not. If we are very sincere to understand Krishna, then naturally we will want to do whatever is possible to help us make advancement. And if we're not very sincere, then we'll find some excuse to avoid the rules and regulations. That is why it is stated in Sri Chaitanya Bahujanma kare tabi shravam ketan tabutam na pare krishna pati kundan. Someone may chant Hare Krishna even for many lifetimes and not attain Hare Krishna. This is not the usual case. The usual case is that by chanting Hare Krishna, the devotee becomes rapidly cured from it. But if someone is specifically very offensive, then the fruit of chanting the holy names will never be attained anymore. So we should be very careful to avoid the offenses in chanting And the one with our Krishna consciousness, always striving for purification, we should never take it for granted that we are automatically becoming cleansed. That, okay, because I chant my Ram Singh often in time, that's enough. But what is the quality of that chanting? Are we chanting with attention? Are we chanting clearly? Are we chanting with love and faith? Therefore, chanting has to be accompanied by hearing, so that our faith will increase, and hearing so that we can also be reminded how we have to chant. Because our tendency is to swerve off into Maya. Now we are in the unnatural position of being in Maya. But we've been in that unnatural position so long that we think it's natural. Just like someone has had a cataract on his eye. And he may have it for such a long time, he just takes it for granted that he can't see in that eye. He takes it as normal, but it's an abnormal situation. So certainly to be in Maya is an abnormal situation. Many times people think, they look at us and they think, it's Hare Krishna, people are unusual. The way they dress, food they eat, the philosophy they follow, everything they do is unusual. But we think that everything the non-devotees do is unusual. A very strange life they lead. They get up very late in the morning. They don't chant Hare Krishna. They waste their whole life chasing after ephemeral pleasures. They think that watching TV is something interesting. And they talk nonsense. Every single word they talk is nonsense. In Krishna consciousness, we have to avoid prajalpa. This is mentioned in the Nectar of Instruction, that we should give up unnecessary talks which have no relationship with Krishna consciousness. But materialistic people have no information of Krishna consciousness. So everything they speak is just all prajalpa. Therefore, Nectar of Instruction also recommends sambhatyaga, give up materialistic association. Because materialistic association means that which will drag us back into the abnormal position of a non-Krishna consciousness. So we should understand that we are practicing Krishna consciousness in the madhouse. Because everyone in this material world is insane. Not knowing Krishna, they're acting against their own self-interest. And everything they do, everything a materialistic person does, simply prepares another body in which to suffer. Vinam bhamatakurteva karma irindiya priti aapinauti nasadhima nirayaka atmana yama sannati kleshita asadhiha. This Nishabdi, the personality of Godhead, gives the conclusion that we are in this material world of insane. Because they are always performing sinful activities, the result of which is that they simply prepare themselves to enter into another body, and this way go on suffering more and more and more, life after life. So Krishna conscious means to come to the same position of giving up the endeavor to lord it over material nature, to give up our ridiculous imitation of God, this attempt that I will be great, I will be powerful, I will be prominent, I will be famous, I will be rich, I will be beautiful. All these endeavors are ridiculous. Because even if you do attain some position in this material world, it is thrown up after a few days. You see this Boris Yeltsin, he struggled all his life to get a high political position. So now he got it in his old age. He's going to die in a few days. And then he'll become a dog, most probably. Most of the politicians become dogs. Because they have a dogish mentality. Simply barking at others. Uncultured. So, what is the becoming the leader of the Russian people? Your name may go in the history book, but that won't mean anything to you when you're a dog. So in this way, people are chasing after useless pleasures. It's not even pleasure. We won't find it because someone has a big position, they're actually happy. That's why people are surprised when they see our devotees. Then how are you so happy? What's wrong with you? You're not supposed to be that happy. And then when we tell them, well, you become happy by serving Krishna. They say, oh, I don't want to do that. They want to be happy on their own terms. But they are not the controllers of the universe. This whole universe works according to laws. The scientists, they know this. Even in the most simple matters, we have to follow rules and regulations. Just like if you want to make bread. Bread is a mixture of flour and water. So if you think that flour costs money and water is free, almost free, so let me make bread with 100 grams of flour and 2 liters of water. Will it make very nice bread? Of course not. It has to be mixed in exactly the right proportion. If you put a little bit too much water, your bread is just blue, like mud. And if you put too little water, then it doesn't rise properly. You have to put exactly the right amount. And if you make it with yeast, then you have to put the right amount of yeast and leave it until it rises to the right height. And then put it in an oven which is already hot, to the right temperature, in the right position in the oven. Then you have to take it out at the right time. Then you get bread. But if you do anything wrong at any stage, you put it too low in the oven, or the oven is not hot enough, or too little water, or whatever, then your bread is a mess. You can throw it to the dog. So even in such a simple thing as making bread, there are so many rules and regulations to be followed. Everything in the universe works according to rules and regulations. So there is a scientific, you can say scientific. So there is a scientific process how to be happy also. And basic rule is that as long as you try to be happy in this material world by sense gratification, you can never be happy. Because you're doing it in completely the wrong way. So you have to be trained to follow the rules and regulations by which you can be happy. It's a science. The rule that means, basic rule and regulation is smartati satatam vishu vishmata vyodna chanti chit, that we should always think of Krishna and never forget him. And if we do that, we become happy. And if we don't do that, we'll never become happy. Even if you become the president of Russia, or even if you have millions of dollars, whatever you can imagine for happiness in this material world, it's all a fraud. It doesn't bring any happiness. The best we can say is that the so-called items of material happiness save us from discomfort. Just like if you drive in a BMW car, it may be more comfortable than driving in a Volkswagen. But then to get the BMW car, you have to work. You have to go through so many anxieties, through so many difficulties. So, all in all, it's material life, there's no happiness. But actually there is happiness. Many times people ask me, well, how long have you been practicing this Krishna consciousness? So I tell them, now it's 23 years. Then they ask me, are you happy? It's a ridiculous question. If I wasn't happy, then why should I do it? Why should we rise early in the morning, work hard all day for Krishna? The karmis, they have what they call 9-to-5 life. They work from 9-to-5. We work from about 4 o'clock in the morning till about 10 o'clock at night. Of course, our work is all play. We don't work. We work, but we don't work. Sometimes people say to us, well, why don't you do some work? But we work much harder than any time. But then on the other hand, we don't work at all, because it's all play, it's all fun, it's all service. And it's the source of great transcendental happiness. We don't have to do this. No one's supposed to drink wine or do whatever things that are supposed to make you happy in the material world. We don't want to drink it. You bring me all the best wines in the world. I never drink it, nor will any of our devotees. Because where is the pleasure there? There's no pleasure. What is the pleasure in drinking something and then your head spins and you have to pass a lot of urine and you talk nonsense? I saw when I arrived at the airport in Budapest, some British businessman with this very hardcore British accent. There's a certain way of speaking in England which is considered very hardcore. So this hardcore businessman was drunk. Probably because he was in the business class on the plane, where they give you lots of booze. So he was talking all nonsense in a very hardcore voice. He must have thought, well, they're giving the booze free, so why don't I take advantage? But he was just making a fool of himself. Anyone in the material world is always making a fool of himself. But when they get drunk, more so. So we're not interested in these things. Of course we're happy in Krishna consciousness. What happiness is there in the material world? Why did we join this movement in the first place? Because finding this material world, there is absolutely no happiness whatsoever. There's only talk of happiness. Just like that same thing, the advertisement. In the advertisement you should always show happy people. Smoke this cigarette and you'll be happy. So you smoke it, and you don't feel transformations of transcendental ecstasy from smoking a cigarette. And all there is some taste on the tongue, which is actually a horrible taste. But people get addicted to that. And then they think that smoking a cigarette is pleasure. It's not actually pleasure. It's just because they're addicted, they feel uncomfortable. Now I have to smoke a cigarette. So then when they smoke it, that's not happiness. Is that happiness? Is this what the material world has got to offer? Material happiness means smoking a cigarette? Pretty useless kind of happiness. In Krishna consciousness, we've got happiness millions of times more than smoking a cigarette. It's not even happiness at all. It's just self-inflicted suffering. All kinds of so-called happiness in this material world are simply self-inflicted suffering. Even if you think driving a big fancy car, that's happiness. But that's also another kind of suffering. That sense of false prestige, then that is not actually happiness. A person with this sense of false pride, he's not actually happy. He's just torturing his own mind by keeping up this false ego of thinking I'm very good. So a devotee is simple and humble, very natural in his behavior. He doesn't act in different ways to try to impress people. He simply acts in such a way that Krishna will be satisfied. And this is how to become happy. It works in every case because it's scientific. Just like in science, you can predict what will happen. If you react acid with alkali, then there is a reaction and salt and water are produced. You can predict it. So you can predict scientifically. If someone takes seriously to Krishna consciousness, they will become happy. And if anyone doesn't take to Krishna consciousness, whatever they may do to try to be happy, they will never be happy. So this movement is meant for entering into the ocean of ecstasy. That ocean is ever increasing. Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam purnamitasvardhanam. That means, at every step, tasting nectar. Sarvatma snapanam, complete purification of the heart. Aram vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. This is all possible by chanting of the holy name. People have no idea how powerful is this chanting. They think, what are these people doing singing this song of Hare Krishna again and again? Oh, many people, they think, well, that's nice. They think it's nice, it's kind of innocent, and it's wrong. But it's not simply some childish song. It's very, very powerful. Because the name of Krishna is not different from Krishna. The name of Krishna cleanses the heart. All the dirty things that are accumulated in millions of lifetimes cleaned out by chanting Hare Krishna. And vidyavadhujivanam, it is the life of transcendental knowledge. It is the life of transcendental knowledge. By chanting Hare Krishna, you become enriched with transcendental understanding. You see the world in a completely different way. You see everything in relationship with Krishna. Anyway, in all respects, Krishna consciousness is wonderful, and it's very wonderful that we have all been able to take to this. It's all the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, delivered by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Let us all take this divine gift of Krishna consciousness very seriously. Become advanced in Krishna consciousness. Become ecstatic in Krishna consciousness. So I said I was going to talk briefly and just take a few questions. Of course, what is brief? Our whole life is brief. So that's what I think of the question. Although it's time to go, so we'll take maximum two questions. Has anyone got any question? Something to do with the mind?
About the humility.
How about the word um? What does that mean?
Yes, it's the mind.
Yeah. It's the soul in Russian. You get a lot of questions about that.
How to achieve humility, humility of the mind. To understand the first thing that you mentioned, to understand that you have to practice it.
Well, what have you got to be proud about? If you're not humble, it means you're proud. So what are you proud about?
I don't want that, but it comes
back. No, but what are you proud of? We are very proud, well, I'm so greatly learned, or I'm such an important person. We don't have anything to be proud about. What's so great about us? Humility just means sanity, that's all. We have no ground upon which to be proud. So if we simply consider that, well, who am I? What am I? I'm just insignificant. Humility is actually natural. But in the material world, everyone is proud, although there's nothing to be proud of. Everyone's puffed up for no reason whatsoever. So pride is simply one, another kind of insanity. So if you're feeling proud, you just consider, what am I proud about? What are the grounds on which people become proud? Because, I come from a very good aristocratic background. I'm born in a very prominent family. So that may be. In most cases, it's not. But even if it is, so what? In this life, if you come from a very prominent family, in next life you're a prominent dog, so what's the big thing? Or if someone has money, they tend to become proud. But the same thing, all these things, they're just temporary. So what if you have money? You're still controlled by the laws of nature. Or the same thing, you're really very powerful, right? A powerful politician. But you can't control even when you have to go to class two, you have to run to the bathroom. So you're under the control of the laws of nature. Or if someone has very beautiful bodily features, they become proud. There's a word in Bengali which means a woman who's beautiful and who knows it very well. So, but what is this bodily beauty? It's simply, we have this bag, bones and blood and stool, and the outside bag of some people appears to be better than the outside bag of others. In the modern society means a lot of attention is given to the bag. How your hair looks, you have to spend so much time looking in the mirror. Oh, how beautiful I look. They have all kinds of makeup. Something for the eyelash, something for the eyebrow, something for the eyelash to make it look bigger. And different kinds of creams to put on your face, and lipstick, something to put under here to stop it stinking. And all kinds of fashionable clothes. It's that, but actually it's just a kind of torture. Because the person who's very concerned about their looks, they're always concerned that, what are people, they'll look at me and how will they think? And especially, well, both men and women, it's like, for people who are very much on the bodily platform, it's very important that someone will look at them and notice them and think, well, it looks pretty good. And then they'll become very proud. What is this goodness? It's all temporary. And so what? There's no happiness in it. So anyway, for whatever reason we may be proud, it's all nonsense. Even when you're chanting Hare Krishna, they think, oh, I've become a really advanced devotee now. All the other devotees are going to notice, I'm so advanced. I chant my rounds so well, and I don't strictly follow all the rules, and I have such deep realization, oh, I'm really the best devotee. So, sadadam amhimba, as Raghunath Das Goswami said, give up this false pride. Just realize I'm completely insignificant. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada said, you are not the most anything, you are simply insignificant. You are not the most anything, you are simply insignificant. You have a question?
Can you say something about the relationships with farmers?
Yeah, living in this material world as a devotee, we have to interact with so many materialistic people. So a devotee should interact with materialistic people as much as necessary and not more. It means if we have any work with them, we will do that in a friendly, polite, and considerate manner. But we will not make very intimate relationships with non-devotees. Just you may find at work that people will think you're unsociable because they'll invite you to parties and so on. So the best thing is you tell everybody at work, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee, and we have some religious principles to follow, and then they won't bother inviting you to parties. They'll understand what is the position. They might call you a fanatic or something else, but it will save you a lot of problems having to pretend, well, I can't come to the party. Once I was on a plane, flying from Bangkok to Kuala Lumpur, from Thailand to Malaysia. So, entering Malaysia, we generally go in common clothes. So, I asked, in the middle of the flight, I asked the airline hostess that how long is it till we arrive? So she told me, and then she started talking to me. Where are you going? What are you doing? And she wants to be friendly with me. So I just answered three or four questions, and I said, look, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee. And she, boom, left. just like that. She was no longer interested in making a friendly relationship. So you can let people know your devotee, where you stand, what your position is. And some people may not appreciate it, they may say you're fanatic or whatever they may say, but your position becomes very clear. And even some people may criticize and others will respect. And even those that criticize, after some time they may come to respect you. I read something very interesting in a magazine published from an ISKCON center in Manchester in England. How one devotee, she was studying in the college. So in the beginning she told everyone, when they asked, when you first come to college there's all different people and they ask, you know, where are you, what are you doing? So from the very beginning she told everyone, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee. And most people were surprised. One of the people was actually very interested, and she wanted to know more about it, and she also ended up becoming a devotee.
Yes.
But one person in particular gave a lot of trouble. He was always calling her names and joking about her, but she simply tolerated it. Then one day he asked in the class, does anyone have a ruler? I need to borrow a ruler. But no one responded. So this Bhaktin, she gave her ruler to him. And he was surprised, because I kept on abusing her, and now she's helping me. So after that, he stopped abusing her. So it's good. You can let people know when you're devoted. I don't know about here, but in some parts of the world, devotees have the idea that you should always hide that we're devotee. You should pretend we're not devotees. Sometimes that's necessary, just like when I was entering Malaysia, I would pretend I was not a devotee because I might not be allowed to enter the country anymore. But generally, as much as possible, if we let people know that we are devotees, we'll find that it's good for preaching and Krishna will protect us. Just like I was speaking with one of our devotees who was doing university preaching in England. So there was another group of devotees who were doing university preaching, and they wanted to make some Vedic yoga clubs in the universities and teach vegetarianism, vegetarian cooking, and about reincarnation, and very, very slowly introduce people to Krishna consciousness. And the other devotee had a completely different approach. His first line when he met people, he said, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee, and I'm proud of it. So people immediately know what is your position. And if we are confident, then other people, they will see that. Whatever bad opinion they may have from reading newspapers will go away to a large extent when they see, here is a person who's speaking to me, human being to human being, he's a devotee of Krishna, and he's proud of it, and he's willing to explain about it. He doesn't have two horns coming out of his head and goat's feet. He seems to be quite a reasonable person. Another thing is that sometimes our devotees think, well, not in this country so much, but sometimes people think, well, people have a very bad impression of our movement. Because in some countries, there's been a lot of press propaganda against our movement for many years. But I find that despite all the propaganda, if we just present ourselves as devotees of Krishna, most people, they're willing to accept it. And actually our movement is becoming more and more respected all over the world, especially among educated and intelligent people. You know, this kind of low class, you know, the kind of person who has no brains whatsoever, you know, their main pleasure is in fighting, and, you know, such people, they're not going to appreciate them. Even some of them may appreciate it. It's awesome. But generally, I find throughout the world that I meet people from all countries, and they know Hare Krishna, and people think it's something serious. People know that we have strict principles and that we have philosophy. And I'll just tell one story in this regard. That one morning I came out of our temple in Belfast, in Northern Ireland, after Mangalati, to walk in the street, the chanting their rounds. And out of the darkness came three soldiers, British soldiers, especially at night, they patrol the whole city. So one of them said, he made some rude language. What are you doing? He said, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. And he said, what? Some more. But then another soldier, he was from Australia. He said, yeah, which was obvious when he began to speak and his accent. He said, yeah, I know Hare Krishna. We have the best vegetarian food in the world. You appreciate it. One was from the village, one soldier was from a village in Northern Ireland, and he was a low class, loved kind of thing. But the other person who, from Australia, knew about our movement, very much appreciated it. So this movement will be appreciated more and more all over the world. Be confident. Krishna is on our side. Krishna will help us. There will be many difficulties, guaranteed. To preach Krishna consciousness in this sinful material world, there will definitely be many difficulties. But Krishna will help us, undoubtedly. Krishna is always favoring his devotees. So be confident, chant Hare Krishna, and within your capacity, preach Krishna consciousness as much as possible. And you will see wonderful things happening. Especially by distributing these books, wonderful things happening. I'll tell you one story in this regard. There are many, many, many such stories. But one of our devotees, he went back to the college where he had studied, and he was preaching. He was from a scientific background. So anyway, he was preaching, and he got in a big argument with one of the science professors there. So at the end, the devotee's giving his book, Life Comes to Life, and he said, just read this book. So a few years later, he saw the professor again at the Rathiatra festival. The professor was dancing and chanting. He said, I'm so glad you gave me that book. You know, all my life's misconceptions got destroyed by that. So you don't know what wonderful things will happen. And one thing is guaranteed, that wonderful things will happen if you preach Krishna consciousness. Just like it's wonderful that you're all here, and that I am here, when we all come from ignorant backgrounds. So this is all the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. That mercy is unfolding more and more and more. This is really the ocean of ecstasy. The ocean of ecstasy is bringing more people and throwing them in that ocean. So everyone more and more can become more and more happy. So see what you can do. Try and preach. I hope I can come here again by Krishna's grace. And I hope next time I come there won't be enough space for all the people to sit in this room. See what you can do. Hare Krishna. So we should go now. Hare Krishna.